Sefer Tehillim. This is Shir number 54. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our hundreds of Torah Shiurim, Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. The series of Sefer Tehillim was sponsored by the Chevra Kadisha Mortuary here in Los Angeles. We are holding in chapter 99, Pasuk Dalet, and we are using the commentary of Ma'am Loes by Rav Shmuel Yishalmi as our source of learning Sefer Tehillim. Again, we're holding chapter 99, Pasuk 4. I'm going to repeat the Pasuk. The Oz Melech Mishpat Ohev Ato Kananto Meishorim Mishpat Utsdoka BeYakov Ato Asisa. O King of Strength, who loves just judgment, you have established equity. You have executed just judgment and righteousness in Yaakov. At that time you will return the crown of Torah to its previous magnificence, for it is the mark of a king's strength that he loves just judgment, which is legislated in the Torah. The just judgment and righteousness in Yaakov will not change, for you have executed them. O King of Strength, he is strong and determined king, as it says, who shall tell him, what are you doing? A pasuk that's found in Kehelis. Nevertheless, he loves just judgment. You have established equity. The judgment which you have executed, you establish in accordance with equity rather than in accordance with the attribute of stern law. Even though you loved Yaakov, yet have you conducted yourself towards him by the dictate of judgment. Thus Israel went into exile on account of their sins. Then, however, you redeemed him in righteousness. As explained by our sages, Hashem said, out of all the peoples I've created, I do not love any except Israel. Out of all the things I've created, I love nothing except Zion. As it says, for Hashem loves justice. It's a pasuk that we learned earlier. I give what I have loved to the people that I love. This is what the nations will say in the future. We see that the King of Strength loves just judgment, and we see that the just judgment and righteousness are in Yaakov. It is evident that you have acted towards them with merciful kindness and love. Another interpretation says the Almighty imbued man with the capacity to be upright, to judge everything by the straight measure of reason, and to distinguish between right and wrong. He has also given the Torah. For man does not ascribe guilt to himself, and so he cannot rely solely on his reason to tell right from wrong. This is what the Torah says here. The king loves just judgment, and therefore you have established equity, the sense for what is right. That is not enough, however, and you have executed just judgment and righteousness in Yaakov. Some explain these verses by means of a parable. A powerful king inaugurated his reign by embarking on a tour through all the provinces of his kingdom. When the people heard of it, they were overcome by dread. But then a man arrived from a great city, and he said to them, "Why are you afraid? The king already visited our city and established a good order. His sole purpose and ambition is to have order and peace in the land." The meaning of this parable is as follows. When Hashem reigns, fear will beset the nations. All the peoples will tremble for their kingdoms when they hear that he is enthroned on Cheruvim in preparation for his coming. They will say, "Who can survive the day of his coming?" But then the singer will announce that Hashem is great in Zion. He has established a fine order in his kingdom of Zion. He judges with equity in the land, whereupon they will acknowledge that he is high above all the nations. They will also praise your name as great and awesome, for they will see in his mighty acts that he is a king of strength, and yet see that he loves just judgment. Hence they will declare that it is proper to praise him and to proclaim his glory. Pasuk 5. Romemu Hashem Elokeinu Vishtachavu Lahadom Raglov Kodeshu. Exalt Hashem, our God, and bow down at his footstool. He is holy. The singer directs himself to all of Israel and to all the nations. Exalt the Lord our God with your mouths, and bow down at his footstool, the holy temple. The earth is called his footstool, and the holy temple and earth is thus also called his footstool. It is called the holy temple because Hashem is called holy. All you nations, it has become clear to you that he is the great king before whom it is proper to be in awe. So to show your subservience, exalt Hashem, our God, and bow down at his footstool. According to the Targum, the singer also says to them, when you exalt the name of Hashem and bow down at his footstool in the Beis HaMikdash, know that you are not in awe of the Beis HaMikdash itself, but of the one who dwells in the holy temple. He is holy. Pasuk 6. Moshe v'Aaron v'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Korei Shmo Korim el Hashem b'Hu Yanin. Moshe and Aaron among his priests, and Shmuel among them that call upon his name. They called to Hashem, and he answered them. The singer explains why it is proper for them to exalt God. Behold, men of such high stature as Moshe and Aaron among his priests and Shmuel were among those who did call upon his name. They made God's name renowned in the world. They called to the Hashem, and he answered them. Thus we find that Moshe entreated Hashem a number of times, and he answered him. Aaron too stood between the dead and the living and prayed. And regarding Shmuel, it says that Shmuel cried to the Hashem for Israel, and Hashem heard him, a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Another interpretation says Moshe was the leader over leaders, and Aaron was the high priest above all other consecrated priests. Shmuel was with those, the Levim, who called upon his name. All of them exalted Hashem's name to the world. How? They called to Hashem, and he answered them. Thus Moshe was vindicated against Korach and his band. Aaron interceded with the pan of incense offering, as it says, and he stood. And stood means nothing other than prayer, as we find in the Chumash Bamidbar. Shmuel said, I will call to Hashem, and he will give thunder and rain, and his words came true. A subtle interpretation says, and Shmuel among them that call upon his name. The sages explained that during the 40 years before Shmuel's birth, an echo voice would come forth to announce that a tzaddik named Shmuel was going to be born. So all the women giving birth named their sons Shmuel. But the voice continued to come forth, and they knew that he had not yet arrived. When finally the voice ceased, they knew that Shmuel was born. Then all those who had been called Shmuel, hence they called by his name, could prophesy. They came to be known as the B'nai HaNevi'im, the prophet's sons. They all possessed the prophetic faculty. Accordingly, it says, when they called upon the name of Hashem, they prophesied in his name. He answered them, their prophecies came true. Throughout the entire 40 years of Moshe's sojourn in the wilderness, he never ceased to serve as a high priest. As it says, Moshe and Aaron among the priests. Said Rabbi Chaya in the name of Rav Shimon, that this was so is indicated by an explicit pasuk. The sons of Amram, Aaron and Moshe, and Aaron was separated, that he should be sanctified as most holy, he and his sons forever. And Moshe was a man of God, as found in Divrei Hayamim. Rabbi Yeshua, son of Yossi, said, during the entire 7 days of the dedication of the Mishkan, Moshe ministered as high priest in a white robe, as it says, Moshe and Aaron among his priests. In the above passage, our sages have explained to us the lofty plane of Moshe. He was like an intimate member of the king's household within the palace, but Aaron was like a minister of state before the king. Therefore Aaron required 8 garments when ministering before him, but Moshe ministered in a simple white robe. The Bechayu cites the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim in the Book of Chronicles as stressing the difference between the sons of Moshe and Aaron. The sons of Aaron served as Kohanim priests, but the sons of Moshe did not. The Medrash explained that this was Moshe's punishment for having said, "Send by the hand of whom you will send," a pasuk that is found in Chumash Shemos. Pasuk Zion, pasuk 7. Mi'amud onon yedaber aleihem shamru eidosav chok nosan lamo. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. It says about Moshe, and Hashem stood at the door of the tent of meeting and spoke with Moshe. About Aaron it says, and Hashem came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tent of meeting and called to Aaron and Miriam. Regarding Shmuel, it says here, he spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. He also spoke thus to Shmuel. That is what it says. Is there a seer here? For you will see a cloud attached to his house. It says further, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Shmuel was faithful as a prophet of Hashem. The signal for prophecy is that a cloud stands by the prophet. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. Each of the prophets adhered to the command that Hashem commanded him. He did not omit a single word of what he commanded. This was so not only concerning what Moshe alone was commanded during the 7 days of dedication. Aaron too was faithful, and also Shmuel kept his testimonies, which he taught to the people of Israel. Because at all times they yearned to fulfill his statutes and testimonies, they merited that whenever they called to Hashem, he answered them. Another emphasis says, they heeded the testimonies, the mitzvah that that reason supports, as if it were there, as if they were a statue that he gave them. A statue, a chok, is a royal edict for which no reason is provided. Pasuk 8. Hashem Elokeinu ato anisom kel noseh yisur lehem v'nokim alilosom. O Hashem, our God, you answered them, a forgiving God were you to them, but an avenger of their misdeeds. O Hashem, our God, you answered the prayers of Israel, as it says, and they fell on their faces, a pasuk that is found in Chumash Bamidbar. But you were an avenger of their misdeeds when Korach and his band enticed them. Another interpretation says, now that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is among men below, it is fitting that you should be in awe of him. For behold, even Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel, despite their lofty stature, were held accountable for their misdeeds. Moshe and Aaron were punished regarding the waters of contention, as found in Chumash Bamidbar, and Shmuel was punished regarding his sons, who did not walk in his ways. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Romamu Hashem Elokeinu Ishtachavu Lahar Kocho Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. Exalt Hashem our God and bow down at the mountain of his sanctuary, for Hashem our God is holy. Now that you have seen what the Almighty does for those who love him, exalt Hashem our God and bow down at the mountain of his sanctuary, Mount Moriah, for Hashem our God is holy. When prostrating yourselves at the mountain of the sanctuary, consider that you are bowing down to our God who commanded us regarding the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, although you bow down at the mountain sanctuary, do not err to ascribe physical aspects to Hashem. For Hashem, our God, is holy. Do not follow the cultures of the nations who make physical forms to ascribe materiality to their deities, for Hashem, our God, is holy. In saying this, the singer alludes to what he said earlier about the Keruvim, whose wings were spread on high to show that God is in heaven. That is, no form or likeness is to be ascribed to Hashem. Now we come to chapter 100, Pasuk 1. Mizmor l'soda horiyu l'Hashem kol oretz, a psalm of thanksgiving, shout to Hashem, all the earth. The present psalm was composed by Moshe or by David, to be chanted with the offering, thanksgiving, korban, todah. Thus the Targum translates praise for the offering of thanksgiving. The offering of thanksgiving is superior to all other offerings. For while the other offerings were brought in expiation of sin, the thanksgiving offering was brought for being saved from misfortune, as it says, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and relate his words. It's a pasuk that we're going to be learning later on in Sefer Tehillim. That is what the Torah says, whoever offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Pasuk that we already learned in chapter 15. Hence the singer says here, let all the earth, all people on earth, will bring an offering of thanksgiving, shout to Hashem. Our sages say, when Hashem said to Moshe, and Aaron will lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, as found in Chumash Vayikra, he began to chant a psalm of thanksgiving and gratitude for his commandment. Shout to Hashem, all the earth. Accept the authority of heaven upon you and establish God as your king amidst the sound of the horn. This is a call as well to the peoples of the world. After Hashem will have returned to the holy temple, acknowledge that Hashem is God. It is also a call for Israel to offer thanks for all the good that He has bestowed upon them. The Torah lists three things the nations must do in the days of the Mashiach. They are to accept the authority of the kingship of God. After they accept His authority, they are to serve Him, and they must come to the holy temple and prostrate themselves before Him, just as one comes to the palace of a king to pay him homage. Pasuk base, Pasuk 2. Ivduith Hashem b'simcha bo'u lefana b'nana. Serve Hashem with gladness, come before His presence with joyful song. Because Hashem has saved you, you are under obligation to serve Hashem with gladness and to sing joyfully to His name, for Hashem is to be served with joy. You are to serve Hashem also while rejoicing, lest you stray into frivolity. In exile, Hashem is served amidst sadness. But in the time of the future redemption, Israel will serve Hashem with gladness and with joyful song. We do not find anywhere in the Holy Torah that joy and gladness are praised except when related to serving Hashem and knowledge of Hashem. Thus it says, rejoice in song, O righteous ones, be glad in Hashem and rejoice, you righteous. I rejoice at your word, the light of the righteous rejoices, the pasuk that is found in Mishlei. Any servant who must serve a master is for this reason unhappy, but you who are servants of Hashem, serve Hashem with gladness. Serving Hashem should not be a burden. The Medrash says in the name of Rebbe, when you stand in prayer, let your heart be glad, for you pray before Hashem, and there is nothing else like it. That is to say, a man's heart should be delighted that he has merited to worship the Master, blessed be He, for there is no one like Him. To serve Him means to be occupied with His Torah and to keep His mitzvahs, which are the true perfection, precious and eternal. King Solomon has said in the wise metaphor, draw me, we will run after you. The king has brought me to his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you, a pasuk in Shir HaShir. The farther a man has merited to enter into the chambers of knowing Hashem, the joy within him is to that extent magnified. The Torah also says, let Israel rejoice in his Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. When David and Melech had in effect attained his high plane of serving Hashem with joy, he said, let my entreaty be sweet to him. As for me, I will rejoice in Hashem. As we will learn a little bit later on, tell him. Then will I go to the altar of Hashem, to God, the gladness of my joy, and praise you upon the harp. O God, my lips will rejoice when I sing praises to you, and also my soul, which you have redeemed. This last pasuk says, while King David composed these psalms in praise of Hashem, the joy within him would become so overwhelming that his lips moved on their own in joyful song. So profound was the excitement of his soul before Hashem that he speaks of it as Hashem redeeming his soul. The Medrash Tehillim says, one pasuk says, serve Hashem with gladness. And another pasuk says, serve Hashem with fear. Said Rabbi Ibo, during the time when you stand in prayer, let your heart be glad that you worship Hashem, the Most High. A subtle interpretation says, since the offering of thanksgiving is not brought for the expiation of any sin, the person who brings the offering might let his attention stray. Therefore the Torah says, when the thanksgiving offering is being sacrificed upon the altar, shout with anguish to Hashem all the earth, let your hearts break. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. The Uk Yashem Hu Elohim Hu Asanu V'lo Nachnu Amo V'tzon Bar Yisrael. Know that Hashem, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people, and the flock of His pasture. The Torah says, now that you have been saved, know that Hashem, He is God. It is He who made us. He drew us out of non-existence into existence. One reading of V'lo Anachnu is V'lo Anachnu, which is spelled with the Vav, and we are His. Our pasuk has it spelled with the Aleph. So if you spell it with the Vav, it will be, and to we are His. We are worthy of being called His possession, His people, and the flock of His pasture. Another reading follows the scripted form, V'lo Anachnu, and not we. We acknowledge that Hashem made us. We did not make ourselves. This is contrary to what Paro said, I have made myself, as we find a pasuk in Yechezkel. It is He who made us, accomplished our deliverance, and not we. This is the opposite of my power, and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. A pasuk found in Chumash Devarim. Even after He has made us, we are His. When someone manufactures a vessel, the vessel then no longer has need of its maker, but we need our maker every instant and every hour. A subtle interpretation combines both readings of the law. If we say, and not we, then we are as nothing in our own eyes, then we are His. Similarly, it says, I dwell on high and in the holy place, yet with Him also who is of contrite spirit. Pasuk that is found in the Sefer Yeshayahu. When the Jewish people diminish themselves before Hashem, Hashem desires them. Some say that the present pasuk refers to the future. Both Israel and the nations of the world will then give thanks to Hashem for once again dwelling in His world. Corresponding to the nations, it says, shout to Hashem all the earth. Serve Hashem with gladness. Come before His presence with joyful song. That is, do so openly with great fanfare. Corresponding to Israel, it says, know that Hashem, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. In the Masorah Concordance, the present pasuk is listed as one of 15 psukim, where the scripted form Lo, Lamed Aleph, is read as Lo to Him. The purpose of this is specifically to reduce the above inferences. We find that the present pasuk is similarly interpreted in Medrash Rabbah, Pasuk Dalit, Pasuk 4. Bo'u sha'orav besoda chatzerosa besila hodu lo boruch shemo. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, give thanks to Him, bless His name. Enter into His gates, past the gates of the Holy Temple, bearing offerings of thanksgiving. Once you are into His courts, begin to praise Him. What shall be your praise? Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Pasuk 5. Ki tov Hashem le'olam chasto v'ad dor v'dor emenoso. For Hashem is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and His faithfulness is to all generations. Hashem is rightfully called good, for His loving kindness endures forever, without pause, even as His faithfulness is to all generations. His promise is kept not only for one generation, as in the case for human promises, but for many generations. Thus it says, performing loving kindness to thousands of generations. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. And it says, the faithful Hashem who keeps the covenant and the loving kindness with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. The pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Our sages teach all prayers will be abolished in the future, but thanksgiving will not be abolished. All the sacrificial offerings will be abolished in the future, but the offering of thanksgiving will not be abolished. What they mean to say is that there will be an abundant well-being, and it will not be necessary for people to pray for their material needs, nor will there be sinners who will require to bring sin offerings and guilt offerings. For Hashem is good. His loving kindness endures forever. From Hashem comes not only miracles, but each moment of life. His faithfulness is to all generations. Unlike conventional faiths based on ethical systems, which change from generation to generation and the passage of time, our true faith in God is to all generations. Although we may not be aware of the good that He bestows, Hashem is good. His loving kindness endures forever. Similarly, it says, all the work is done in faithfulness. For Hashem is good in having opened the gates of the good, and the good will last forever. It is the way of Hashem that He bestows the good not only for the moment, but forever. His faithfulness endures to all generations. The good that He does is forever, yet no benefit whatsoever accrues to Him on account of this. His faithfulness is to all generations, that He will continue to do good. It is thus an obligation to be thankful to Him. The pasuk indicates that four kinds of people are required to offer thanks, and in the time of the Beis HaMikdash they would bring offerings. At the present time they recite a bracha in the shul in presence of at least 10 people. That is what the Torah says here. Enter before Him with the offering of thanksgiving, as we learned in the previous pasuk, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing into His courts, the shuls, with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name by reciting the Gomel thanksgiving bracha. For Hashem is good, His loving kindness endures forever. Thanksgiving opens the door, and by reciting His praise, a person can come to dwell inside the courts of Hashem. Hence it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. This alludes to two levels of closeness to Hashem. There are those who are chosen, and there are those who come close. Thus it says, let the high praises of Hashem be in their mouth, and a two-mouthed sword in their hand. The two-mouth refers to the open heart, and the open mouth, innermost thought and speech. There is thus the corresponding double instruction, give thanks to Him, bless His name. The present psalm is founded on three good gifts granted by God: life, understanding, and the livelihood. Corresponding to these gifts, our sages establish the three brachas of the morning prayer: Elokai Nishama, my God, the soul which You have granted me is pure. The next one is Anosein Lasech Vebino, who grants the heart understanding, plus the other benedictions pertaining to man's many needs. The singer has accordingly composed the following: a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout to Hashem, all the earth. Know that Hashem, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people and the flock of His pasture. He who made us pertains to possession of life. We are His pertains to understanding, and the flock of His pasture pertains to one's livelihood. Furthermore, enter into His gates with thanksgiving pertains to the first matter, life. Into His courts with praise pertains to livelihood. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for Hashem is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and His faithfulness is to all generations. Is the special exaltation of the understanding. Then again the singer says, shout to Hashem, all the earth. Do so not because Hashem has need of your worship and joyful song, rather so you may know that Hashem, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His people and the flock of His pasture. For this reason, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. He will then cause the flow of His good upon you, as is His way. For Hashem is good, His loving kindness endures forever, provided you are faithful to Him in all generations through the chanting of songs and praises. Now we come to chapter 101. Pasuk 1. The David Mizmor Chesed Umishpat Ashir Elecha Hashem Azamera. A psalm of David, I will sing of loving kindness and judgment to you, O Hashem, while I sing praises, play music. The present psalm sets forth to depict David's conduct in his home and in ruling his kingdom. It begins by emphasizing the loving kindness and just judgment that he practiced towards the people of Israel. Even as he administered retribution to the wicked, so he dealt kindness to the righteous, as it says, and David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and righteousness to all his people, as the pasuk that's found in Shemuel Beis. King David would say, I will become enlightened in the way of integrity. As we'll learn in the next pasuk, he investigated what is proper conduct for the man of integrity, and understood that he must reward the righteous with the good and punish the wicked in proper measure. Please turn tape over to side B, and if you are listening to a CD, please be patient for a few moments. He would walk with my house in the integrity of my heart to attain a good grasp of what this way meant and then apply it in practice. He did not follow the way of other kings who occupied themselves with erecting strongholds and building cities to enhance their own glory. Rather, he practiced loving kindness and judgment, nor was he filled with pride on that account, but thanked Hashem for it, for Hashem is abundant in loving kindness and truth. Accordingly, he says, I seclude myself, and then I sing praises about the loving kindness and judgment that I practice towards Israel. I give thanks that you crowned me to be a king over them, and that you granted me a good heart to rule them with justice and righteousness. King David practiced both justice and righteousness. He executed judgment in accordance with the law, by exonerating the innocent and condemning the guilty. But if the verdict went against one who was poor and thus could not pay his obligations, David would pay out of his own possessions. Hence he says here, I will be upright. Oshira is linked to Yashor, straight or upright, in loving kindness and judgment. Some explain that David refers to Hashem's loving kindness in having granted him inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The judgment refers to his preparation in order for divine inspiration to affect him. For none of the righteous and saintly individuals merited this gift without preparing for it. Thus we find that Moshe said to the people who could not partake of the Korban Pesach at the appointed time, stand still, and I will hear what Hashem will command concerning you, a pasuk that is found in Chumash Bamidbar. David HaMelech says, what I want to say about loving kindness and judgment, I will express in the form of song rather than as a narrative. To you, O Hashem, will I sing praises. Besides the vocal songs, I will play musical instruments. Some say that David composed this psalm when he asked Hashem to let him build the Beis HaMikdash. Earlier, he had already made the necessary preparations to become worthy of this privilege. As it says, who will sojourn in your tent? Who will dwell upon the mountain of your sanctuary? He that walks uprightly and acts justly and speaks truth in his heart. Hence he said in anticipation that he had already prepared himself spiritually in order to be worthy of this task. He learned from Hashem's ways to practice loving kindness and judgment, and to apply the other qualities which the Torah now goes on to list. In the Mishnah it says, a man must recite a bracha for the bad even as he recites a bracha for the good. For it says, and you will love Hashem your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your might. This is a pasuk that's found in the Chumash Devarim. With all of your heart, and also found in the Shema. With both your inclinations, the good and the bad, with all your might, by every measure whereby he measures you. Give thanks to him very, very, very much. Rava said, We did not make this inference for any reason other than to accept suffering joyously. This is deduced from the pasuk, and Hashem will I praise His word. In Hashem have I put my trust. In Hashem will I praise His word. This is the measure of good. In Hashem have I put my trust. This is the measure of affliction. Rav Avuhu derived the inference from the present pasuk, a psalm of David. I will sing of loving kindness and judgment. To you, O Hashem, will I sing praises. About your loving kindness towards me will I sing. About your severe judgment of me will I sing praises. Rav Tanchum derived the inference from, I will lift up the cup of deliverance and call upon the name of Hashem. I found trouble and sorrow. Thus our sages have adduced from here that everything done from heaven is done for the good. I will sing of loving kindness and judgment. These are not two separate things, but a single matter. In relation to Hashem, it is loving kindness, but in relation to the recipient man, it is judgment. According to our sages, that is what the Torah says. Concerning judgment, Hashem of hosts will be exalted in judgment. Concerning righteousness, Hashem, who is holy, will be sanctified in righteousness, a pasuk found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Said Rav Chunin, in the name of Acha, if concerning loving kindness, I will sing of loving kindness, if concerning judgment, I will sing of judgment, in any case, to you, O Hashem, will I sing praises. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Shila, said, Hashem has given, and Hashem has taken away, a pasuk that is found in Iyov. As when He gave, so when He took away, blessed be the name of Hashem. Accordingly, the singer says here, I thank Hashem both for the good and for the bad. I thank Him for the good because it is a kindness, and I thank Him for the bad because it is a judgment which I deserve. Despite the fact that they are two different actions, I give thanks for both in the same way. For Hashem, O Hashem, to whom I sing praises, is one. This attitude stems from the principle of faith. There is no chance happening in the world. Everything is by divine supervision, both the good and the bad. They do not stem from two separate dominions, but everything is from one source. Thus he says, I will sing of loving kindness and judgment to you alone for both things. Rav Abu once lost a very precious bracelet. Rav Yonah and Rav Yossi came to visit him and to console him for his loss. Perhaps out of awe before him, they did not discourse on the Torah. Perhaps he will say some words of Torah he prompted. Let the master speak. They said to him, and he said, we know that the powers below are corrupted by insincerity, falsehood, intrigue, favoritism, and bribery. Today we are here, and tomorrow we are gone. Yet it says that after a person is condemned to death by the court and executed, his relatives come to inquire after the well-being of the judges and the witnesses. It is as if they were saying, we have no hatred in our hearts for you. You administer true judgment. If that is so here below, it is assuredly so concerning the tribunal on high, where there is no insincerity or falsehood, no intrigue or favoritism, and no bribery, where Hashem lives for all eternity. We must then assuredly accept the verdict decreed by the attribute of judgment. Pasuk base, Pasuk 2. Aski leba derech tami mosai tovo eloi es halech betam levavi bekerev besi. I will become enlightened in the way of integrity when it will come to me. I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. The beginning of completeness is integrity, as it says, as for Hashem, His way is integrity. Tamim, as found in Shmuel Beis. Accordingly, David begins by saying, I will become enlightened in the way of integrity. I will enlighten myself and others to live with integrity. How will I attain this level? I will attain it gradually, one step at a time. First, I will walk with integrity within my house, and then I will go further. Thus he says, I will become enlightened. I will set my heart upon the path towards perfection. Or when will it, the straight path I am to walk, come to me? It'll happen when I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. My private conduct will be as my public conduct to walk humbly before Hashem. It is essential to live with integrity also in the privacy of our homes, when people do not see us. As Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his Talmidim, his students, may it be his will that the fear of Hashem be as much upon you as the fear of flesh and blood is upon you. Usually a man will not commit transgression in private because he fears that another man may see him. He does not say, perhaps Hashem will see me. Accordingly, the prophet Micha says, walk humbly with your God. A pasuk is found in Sefer Micha. May you walk humbly when you are alone with your God and there are no others with you. Integrity means not to do anything for a selfish motive, but to act solely out of love for the good and because Hashem, whose good, has commanded it. Integrity of the heart pertains to the person who is honest in private as well as in public dealings. I walk with my house in the integrity of my heart. I walk to and fro in my house absorbed in thought on how to acquire the quality of integrity. Some explain that David refers to Avram. I would constantly study the ways of our father Avram, to whom Hashem said, walk before me and be integrity. I would try to emulate his deeds. Thus the Torah says about Avram, and you found his heart faithful before you, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Nehemiah. The word Tamim is comprised of the beginning letters of Torah, Mitzvahs, Yosher, and Midos. Torah, commandments, uprightness of traits. Through possession of these three qualities, a man can merit having the divine presence rest upon him. Hence it says, be Tamim. If you will conduct yourself in accordance with the Torah and its commandments and have upright qualities, you will merit being with your God. This can be attained through secluded contemplation. Thus it says here, if I walk within the seclusion of my heart, then I will merit to achieve integrity of my heart. The Talmud says about Avada Bar Abuha, when in a year of drought he wanted rainfall, he would remove his shoes. Upon removing one shoe, it would begin to trickle. The sages sent a delegation to him, what good deeds have you in hand? His answer was, all my life, no one ever came to the shul ahead of me, and I never left the shul when there was still anyone there. I never walked 4 cubits without Torah study, and I never pondered words of Torah in an unseemly location. I never made my bed to sleep a prolonged sleep. I did not waste my friend's time, and I never called any friend by a nickname. I was never happy at another's misfortune, and no man's curse ever came upon my couch. In the marketplace, I never walked near someone who owed me money. I was never angry in my home. In accordance with, I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. Within the interpretation that the Torah refers to preparations for eliciting the Holy Spirit, the singer says, the first preparatory step towards deserving the onset of the Holy Spirit is that I will be enlightened in the way of integrity. When I want to bring my soul into a state of readiness, I ponder deeply that the way of men of integrity and perfection. I do not study the way of the wicked man. I ask, when will it, the Holy Spirit, come to me? And look forward to the moment when it will rest upon me. Then I walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. In seclusion, I walk to and fro until the Holy Spirit comes upon me. Similarly, it says about Elisha that he walked in the house to and fro, as found in Melachim Beis, until he was granted the godly power to revive the youth. This also indicates that the Holy Spirit came to rest upon David at midnight. He would prepare himself by walking within my house in the integrity of my heart. This refers to the soul. A different emphasis says, even when I will be enlightened in matters of wisdom, I will continue to walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will not be lured into the path of philosophical inquiry, but follow the path of innocence and integrity, as it says in the Pasuk Chumash Devarim, you will be wholehearted, tamim, with Hashem your God. A man must prepare a strong and valiant heart in order to accept everything that happens to him. Towards this end,
He must learn to anticipate events by saying in his heart, if they do not come today, they will come tomorrow. By conducting himself in this manner, misfortunes will not unsettle him and will not cause him to forget to serve Hashem, for they will find him prepared. This is the way of the tzaddik. Thus the singer says, I will be enlightened in the way of integrity when it will come to me. This is how he would prepare himself to welcome with love everything that happened to him. Another interpretation says, I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. Integrity will be firm and enduring within me. I will stand wholehearted and act out of pure motives. I will be so accustomed to walking the path, the way of goodness, that the path of integrity will as if come to me on its own. Some note that the present pasuk simply continues the previous pasuk. Why do I also sing about the judgment? For the purpose of suffering is that I will be enlightened in the way of integrity. I should draw the proper lessons from my suffering. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Lo oshis the neged einai devar b'liyual aso seitim sunesi lo yitbak bi. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate wayward deeds. It will not cleave to me. Having now described the two things he did as part of his preparation for the onset of divine inspiration, the singer recounts the things he avoided. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I did not place before me as an example to emulate the conduct of the irresponsible man who divests himself of the yoke of heaven. I hate wayward deeds, the deeds of the wayward who stray from the path of uprightness. No deeds of these wayward people will cleave to me. My thought is pure, so pure that I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. What is more, because I hate wayward people, nothing of the wicked will cleave to me, not even in thought. The eye and the heart are the two procurers of sin, so I make strenuous efforts to place restrictions on both of them. For one, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. What is more, is not everything depends on the eye. I hate wayward deeds in my heart. Pasuk Dalet. Levav Ikesh Yosur Mimeni Ro Lo Edo. A perverse heart will depart from me. I will know no evil thing. Thirdly, a perverse heart, I make every effort that the physical power of the flesh, the evil inclination, will depart from me. I strive to diminish this power and to enhance the power of the intellect. Fourthly, I will know no evil thing, since my entire purpose is well-intentioned. Hence, a perverse heart will depart from me. I will know no evil thing. Another interpretation, I will know no evil person. Since the present pasuk speaks of perverse thoughts, which it is difficult to overcome without God's help, some perceive the pasuk as a plea. David pleads, cause a perverse heart to depart from me, and then I will know no evil thing. Similarly it says, and Hashem saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that all the impulse of the thoughts of his heart was only evil the entire day. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. Inasmuch as evil is mainly in the heart, King David pleads, remove the perverse heart from me, and then I will merit not to know the evil impulse, that evil thing. The singer tells us that he endeavored to implant in his soul the quality of equanimity, so that honor and abuse appear the same in his eyes. This marks the quality of humility brought to perfection, as the Chovas Halvavas has written. Accordingly, he says, I will set no wicked word before my eyes. That is to say, I give no heed to words of vilification and abuse directed against me. Consequently, I will merit to hate wayward deeds of the wicked, and no evil thing word will cleave to me. Thus I pray and implore that a perverse heart will depart from me. I should not bring hatred into my heart against those who abuse me. Then I will know no evil thing, for all things will be the same to me. I will not know the difference between the good of praise and the bad of humiliation. Some say, if I keep myself from wayward deeds, then a perverse heart will depart from me. This refers to perverse thought. Hence, I will know of no evil thing in others as well. with the interpretation that the singer alludes here to the building of the holy Beis HaMikdash, he refers to the quality whereby the person is himself like the holy temple. Namely, he speaks truth in his heart. Thus he says here, a perverse heart will depart from me. I will not cause a false heart to remain within my house. Corresponding to, nor does evil to his fellow, the singer says, I will know no evil, no evil doer. Then again, the singer says, my heart is so imbued with the way of the good that I will know no evil thing. I do not know what is evil. Pasuk 5. Meloshni b'seisir re'ehu oso atzmis gava einayim rechav levav oso lo uchav. One who slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I cut off. One of haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not bear. Having said that he prepared himself in matters leading to self-improvement, the singer says that he also acted for the improvement of others. He did so in two ways. One was by punishing the wicked, the other was by amply rewarding the righteous. Thus he says here, one who slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I cut off. Whenever anyone slandered another in my presence, expecting me to use my royal prerogative to punish that other person for his wrongdoing, I did not do so. I did not punish the accused unless there were corroborating witnesses. Instead, I punished the slanderer. One of the haughty eyes who raised them high to behold the pleasures of this world, him will I not bear. The slanderer is possessed of levav, two hearts. On the one hand, his words are enticing, designed to draw from the person he addresses words of condemnation for the subject of his slander. Then he himself goes on to speak evil about him. Our sages thus infer from here that one who speaks evil is afflicted with leprosy. For it says here, I will cut off atzmis, which indicates an irreversible affliction, and certain forms of leprosy are incurable. Rav Chisda said in the name of Mar Ukva, Hashem said, I and he cannot dwell in the world. Thus it says, Oso Luchal, do not read Oso him, read Oso with him. With him I cannot be in this world. A subtle interpretation says, I and he cannot dwell in the world. If he feels himself to be someone, he does not consider himself so to be as a nothing versus the Holy One whose presence is everywhere. Hashem cannot speak to him. Others explain, pride can be rectified by having the person develop reverence for someone superior to himself. Envy can be rectified by having the person regard favorably someone inferior to him. If, however, he is both proud and envious, there is no way to rectify a person who is afflicted with both these flaws of character. For if he should see someone superior to himself, he will be overcome by envy, and if he sees someone who is inferior, he will be overcome by pride. Thus the singer says here, one of haughty eyes, who is also of a proud heart, he is marked by pride as well as envy. Him will I not bear, for I cannot perfect him. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Einai kenemne eretz loshevas imadri holech kebederach tamim hu yishor seini. My eyes are upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in the way of integrity, innocence, he will minister to me. Not only did I punish the wicked, but I also rewarded the righteous with well-being. In times of secluded contemplation, I would place my eyes and purpose upon those who do good and appoint them to minister to me. The faithful of the land are those whose faith is perfect. Those of perfected character traits would minister to me. I do not wait for the perfected individuals to come to me. I seek them out everywhere. My eyes are upon the faithful of the land. When I find them, I invite them to dwell with me. Nor do I take just anyone to serve me. I take only the good people, he that walks in the way of integrity, to minister to me. When I am about to choose people who will stand in my presence and minister to me, I choose the faithful and the wholehearted tamimim. For when a tzaddik rules, all his servants are tzaddikim. With the opposite of, if a ruler listens to lies, all his servants are wicked. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. My eyes are upon the faithful of the earth. A subtle interpretation says, my eyes are upon those who set their hearts upon the earth. They take seriously the fact that a little earth covers up the eyes. I have chosen them to dwell with me. The Talmud says, we have learned in the Braisa. Rebbe says, what is the upright way that a man should choose? He should love rebuke. So long as there is rebuke in the world, satisfaction comes into the world, well-being and blessing come into the world, and evil departs from the world. As it says in Mishlei, in Proverbs, those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and good blessing will come upon them. Others say that he should be exceedingly steadfast in his faith, as it says, my eyes are upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. A subtle interpretation says, my eyes are upon the faithful of the land. When I come to choose faithful confidence from among the famous people of the land, I test them very carefully beforehand. But when I see a man of innocence and integrity, one who walks in the way of integrity, yet is not renowned in the world, I choose him to minister to me at once without preliminary testing. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7. Lo yeshev bekerev beisi osei remiyo dover shkorim lo yikon neged einoi. He that works deceit will not dwell within my house. He that tells lies will not be established before my eyes. The foregoing theme is continued. The man of haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not bear. My eyes are upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in the way of integrity, he will minister to me. Hence, he that works deceit will not dwell within my house, for I cannot bear him. He that tells lies will not be established before my eyes. By eliciting these contrasts, David conveys his determination to perfect himself in all of these matters. Thus, the opposite of he that walks in the way of integrity is he that works deceit. As Rashi says in his commentary on the Pasuk, and Yaakov was Ishtam. Whosoever is not adept at deceit is called Ishtam, a man of integrity or innocence. The reason that David chose the faithful of the land is that he that works deceit will not dwell within my house. For deceit is the opposite of faithfulness, and he tells lies is the opposite of that. He that walks in the way of integrity, such a man will not be established before my eyes. He that tells lies will not be established before my eyes. Some say that this refers to the type of clever defender who has the capacity to beautify every deed, even if it means resorting to lies. The singer says, I do not grant the pleas, the petitions of such people, nor am I taken in by their talent for speech. What is more, neither will they be established before my eyes. I do not allow them into my presence to plead their case. Only the faithful of the land come into my presence. Others say that David is also speaking about those who dwell in the house of study, yet make of their task a deceit. In effect, they also tell lies. Our sages teach, when one says to another, I will sell you this item, let him not change his mind. Even if he can nullify the sale, let him not do so, but be faithful to his word. The Torah says of him, my eyes are upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in the way of integrity, he will minister to me. Thereby he merits to dwell in the presence of Hashem. Even if he has only decided to sell the item, but has not said so, let him not change his mind. This is included and speaks truth in his heart. Pasuk 8. Labkorim atzmis kol rishay oretz lahachris meir Hashem kol po'alei oven. Morning by morning will I destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the workers of iniquity from the city of Hashem. Another goal I set for myself in the days of my preparation was to ponder morning by morning ways to destroy all the wicked of the land, to cut off all the workers of iniquity from Yerushalayim, the city of the Lord. There are two types of evildoers: those who openly perpetuate their wicked deeds, are called the wicked of the land. Those who sin in private are the workers of iniquity. The former will not be affected by repentance, since they have no sense of shame. Therefore, morning by morning, will I destroy all these wicked of the land. When the others behold this implacable punishment, they will cease their willful transgression. Another interpretation says, morning by morning will I destroy, notwithstanding that the morning is a time of loving kindness. I will destroy all the wicked of the land. Thus will all the workers of the iniquity cease their evil doing. Every day I will endeavor to destroy all the wicked of the land, as it says, execute judgment in the morning, a pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. Some say it means to destroy them quickly. In another interpretation, the present psalm refers to the building of the holy Beis Hamikdash. The Torah spoke earlier about the necessary qualifications of the builder, namely, he does not put out his money on interest, nor take a bribe against the innocent. Accordingly, the singer says here, he that works deceit will not dwell in my house, corresponding to he that swears, and even to his own hurt, does not change it. He says, morning by morning will I destroy all the wicked of the land, so that I may cut off all the workers of iniquity from the city of Hashem. I will cut them off from the time they begin their evil doing. When Yerushalayim is thus cleansed of all evildoers, David will then be able to build the Beis Hamikdash in highest purity. This entire psalm is also perceived as expressing David's yearning to follow in the footsteps of Avram, as has already been explained. He refers to each of Avram's qualities that he wants to emulate, beginning with, I will be enlightened in the way of integrity, Tamim. Avram was a man of integrity, wholehearted, Tamim, as we find the Chumash Bereishis. This is followed by, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, that is, I will not entrust my heart to the enticements of the Satan. Similarly, we find, according to our sages, that when Avram was on his way to bind his son, he was not swayed by the words of Satan.